Triple explosions have rocked the Syrian city of Idlib, causing deaths and injuries. Activists say at least 20 people were killed in twin explosions in the morning. Syrian TV put the death toll at 9. These are the latest in a series of bombings targeting Syria since a ceasefire came into effect in mid-April. Here's more.
Explosions have rocked the city of Idlib in northwestern Syria, causing deaths and injuries. Syrian media blamed terrorists for the blasts that targeted security services buildings. Injuries were also reported in the capital, Damascus, where armed groups attacked a police patrol and the central bank building. Workers at the central bank staged a rally in support of President Bashar al-Assad's government. Syria has been gripped by a year-long deadly unrest, which the government blames on foreign-backed armed gangs. Many have been killed in terrorist attacks in which Damascus says al-Qaeda is involved. State newspapers say the methods and choices of targets in terrorist attacks across the country bear the hallmarks of al-Qaeda. They say al-Qaeda-led terrorism is being funded by some Arab countries and is supported by the U.S.
I mean, it's not just the Syrian government who has laid the blame for much of these attacks at al-Qaeda's door. Al-Qaeda themselves have claimed responsibility numerous times for the terrorist attacks that have taken place in...
The U.S., its Western and Arab allies, along with Turkey, have openly voiced political and financial support for the armed opposition groups operating in Syria, supplying them with weapons. On Saturday, several people were killed in a seaborne attack by armed groups on a military unit near the Syrian port city of Latakia. They used weapons and seaboats provided by a Turkish ship. The Syrian army is still engaged in fighting armed groups despite a ceasefire being closely monitored by UN observers. The ceasefire came into effect on April 12th as part of efforts to restore calm to Syria. But since then, attacks and bombings by armed groups have intensified, with the latest in Idlib and Damascus. This seems to be part of efforts to show that the ceasefire is shaky and will come to an end. Western countries and some Arab states have spoken of regime change in Syria as the only way to resolve the crisis. But their attempts were blocked with stances adopted by countries like Russia and China, who insist on a peaceful solution. They've repeatedly said the Syrian crisis must only be resolved by Syrians themselves, and all parties involved in the violence must cooperate to seize it. Russia also said it supports, quote, a decisive rebuff on terrorists operating in Syria and has urged all domestic and outside players to avoid supporting the Syrian terrorists.
Well, joining us now from studios in Washington is author and historian Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley. Dr. Tarpley, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, many are pointing out that the situation in Syria and the U.S. involvement within the region, specifically in light of the events of the past year, are part of the U.S. plan for a new Middle East. Do you agree with that assessment? And how would you define the U.S.'s views of a new Middle East?
I think the U.S. strategic goal in the Middle East is the destruction of all existing national states. There's an outline for this that's been known for many years as the Bernard Lewis Plan. It's been expressed again by people like Zbigniew Brzezinski. Microstates, mini states, rump states, secessionism, chaos, warlords, and NATO feels free to seize whatever assets they think are important, be it oil or water or strategic ports or things like this. If we just look at what's happening in Syria right now, I think we can say that the so-called Syrian opposition, the Syrian National Council and the terrorists of the Free Syrian Army, they are politically defeated. And their only hope right now is to maintain a constant series of terrorist attacks, bombings, murders. They've had suicide bombings. This is not a technique of the Syrian army. It is a technique of al-Qaeda. We've just heard, as you say, Idlib near the Turkish border, three attacks in one day, coordinated attacks, another hallmark of al-Qaeda. So there's no political content here. It is simply a desire to keep something going so that there'll be a pretext for foreign forces to intervene. And I think that's where we're headed right now. We have a movie here in the United States called Wag the Dog, and it's the story of a president who's facing defeat in an election And he looks around and he says, how can I get a provocation going? How can I get people's attention focused on a foreign war, a foreign enemy? Well, maybe President Sarkozy of France fills the bill this week as he looks at the coming defeat of his electoral hopes. He's a lame duck president. He seems to be on his way out. Might he not mount something? His foreign minister, Juppé, at the end of last week said it's time now to get serious and get that attack on Syria organized. The other news of today is the arrival of General Mood, or of yesterday, the Norwegian NATO general who is supposed to direct these NATO observers. Now, this I would point as the reductio ad absurdum of this entire situation. Here we have a NATO general. Norway is a NATO state. They're part of that aggressive neo-colonialist group of states called NATO. He's now going to be the judge and jury of what's going on in Syria. His brother NATO officers across the border in Turkey are actively sending death squads, weapons, organizing these actions that we see. His brother NATO officers from France have been captured in the area of Homs. So how can General Mood be impartial? We would need to see lots of observers from Russia, from China, from Cuba, from Venezuela, from North Korea, from what the West would call the rogue states. That's the only hope of getting some kind of an honest vision of what's going on in Syria.
Well, Dr. Tarpley, I'd like to pick up on a point that you made earlier, which was even the Syrian media has drawn parallels between the recent attacks, terrorist attacks in Syria, and those carried out by al-Qaeda. What do you make of al-Qaeda involvement under what the Syrian government calls U.S. backing?
Well, al-Qaeda, of course, is the CIA Arab Legion, created by the CIA and by MI6 to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan back in 1980. And there are still people running around Washington who had a hand in that. Robert Gates was Secretary of Defense until just a little while ago. Michael Vickers is going to be the head of the new Defense Clandestine Service. He's a top official in the Pentagon. He was present at the creation back in the 1980s. So the trick is that these al-Qaeda fighters have been used, for example, to overthrow the government of Libya, and they were then redirected into Syria. Very interesting fact, this ship that was caught by the Lebanese Navy, I believe, off the coast of the Eastern Mediterranean, it was coming from the NATO puppet state of Libya, which has been taken over by precisely these people, loaded to the gills with heavy weapons, and this was going to be delivered to the Syrian death squads and the Syrian rebel coalition. So this is an example of hypocrisy and double dealing. I guess in order to find a comparison, we've got to go back to Hitler and the Sudetenland in 1938, where Hitler was actively fomenting terrorism inside the country, and then he could turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to intervene. And he was telling his minions on the ground, don't negotiate, make unreasonable demands, don't come to an agreement, because we need the issue. We don't need an agreement, we need a reason to invade. That's the NATO posture today.
Right, then I guess the multi-million question here is that who then is going to gain from this? Who stands to benefit?
Well, we're talking about a significant piece of the world and a building block for world domination. Everybody has observed that if Syria falls into chaos, if Syria is wiped off the map and replaced by Kurdish, Alawite, and other entities and warlords, then Iran loses an ally, Hezbollah loses its strategic depth, the predicament of the Israelis is made much easier. There are probably hotheads in Istanbul and Ankara who think that they can seize pieces of this right on their way to some kind of new Ottoman Empire. There are lots and lots of people who would like to carve themselves a piece of Syria. Naturally, I would warn them, especially the Turks, that when the U.S. offers Turkey this wonderful perspective of invading Syria, the goal there is to destroy Turkey as well as Syria.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, author and historian, joining us there from studios in Washington. Dr. Tarpley, we thank you for your comments here on Press TV.